Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Luke chapter 24. Probably going to have just two more lessons in the book of Luke, but you know, the Bible records 10 different appearances of Jesus following his resurrection before he ascended back to heaven. But no single Bible writer records all 10. So, for example, Matthew records 2 of them, Mark records 4, John records 4. The Apostle Paul recorded 4, but Dr. Luke, in the book of Luke, actually records 5 of those appearances. And it's interesting, you know, he was a physician, he was a scientist, he was a historian, and it's interesting that his writings record the most appearances of Christ after he was resurrected. We're going to look at the first appearance tonight. That Luke records, and this account parallels the one that's in John chapter 20. Now, I just remind you that John points out in his account, and Luke doesn't, that Thomas wasn't there, one of the disciples, one of the apostles. It was Sunday night, and Thomas wasn't there. So we talked about the two disciples last week that walked with Jesus, didn't know it was him, on the road to Emmaus. They heard him expound all the scriptures, beginning at Moses and the prophets, concerning himself. They didn't recognize him until he sat down to dinner with them and began to break bread, at which point their eyes were opened. They recognized Christ, and the Bible says that he vanished. He just disappeared from their sight. So they got up, ran back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that they had seen the Lord. And so we finished last week with verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So we start in verse 36 tonight, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So as these two disciples that had come back from Emmaus was telling the other disciples what had happened, how they'd walked with Jesus, how they didn't recognize him, how it wasn't until he began to break bread that he did realize him, that Jesus just appeared in the room. Now, in John's account, Luke doesn't mention it, but in John's account, John mentions that the doors were locked. And so Jesus entered the room without unlocking the door. I don't think he came through the door. I think he just appeared in the room, and he addressed the group with the customary Jewish greeting, peace be unto you. Verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. So they were afraid. I mean, they were deadly afraid. They were terrified, the Bible says. Hearing that Jesus was resurrected was one thing. Actually seeing him was something else. You know, and it's true of us as well. We hear about something, okay, and we believe it. For example, we've heard about the damage that has been done, and we believe that it's been done. But when you see it in pictures, I mean, when the images flash across the television screen, or as people are going back to their homes, they might have heard about the damage that has been done, but when they go back and actually look at it, it's something else. And so, same way with the disciples. They'd heard reports from the women that went to the tomb early that morning about the tomb being empty. Peter and John had ran to the tomb after the ladies reported, and they saw the tomb was empty. But now, and so they heard. They heard that Jesus was, you know, no longer dead, that he was alive. But to see him, just to see him standing there in the middle of the room, was something else. And they didn't quite yet understand what the resurrection was all about, that it was a bodily resurrection, that the body of Jesus Christ came back to life. And so when they saw him, they said, it's his ghost. It's a spirit. It's really not flesh and blood. They thought that, again. They thought it was a spirit, and so they were afraid. Now look at verse 38 and 39. And he, Jesus, said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet; that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So So when he realized that they were afraid, he said, "Why are you afraid? Why have you let fear come into your hearts? It's me. I mean, I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. It's me in the flesh." And then I think he held out his hands. He said, "Hey, look at my hands. Look at my feet." And again, he still had the marks from the crucifixion. I mean, there were holes in his hands or in his wrists. Some people think they drove the nails through his wrist that his palms wouldn't support it. But somewhere on his hands, there were holes. There were holes in either in his feet or in his ankles. They were still there. I've often wondered, when he said, "Look at my hands and my feet," did he just hold up his foot like that, you know, pull up his robe, or did he sit down and stretch both of them out and say, "Take a look. Look at my hands and my feet." Now, you remember, just as a side note, when these disciples went to Thomas and said, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's alive." Thomas, here's what Thomas replied. He said, unless I can see the holes in his hands and put my finger in those holes, I'm not going to believe that he's alive. Well, if Thomas had, this was a Sunday night, and I always tell people, if Thomas had been where he was supposed to be on Sunday night with the other disciples, he would have seen the proof and had the proof that he asked for. He could have seen the holes in Jesus' hands, and Jesus was going to add to him. He was going to say, "Come and handle me." Thomas hadn't said it yet, but Jesus knew what Thomas was going to say. "Hey, if you want to put your finger in the holes in my hand, go ahead. But it is me." And so he offered proof that he was alive, physically alive, a bodily resurrection to three of their senses. They heard his voice. A voice that they were familiar with. They'd heard that voice as it stood on mountains and preached and stood beside lakes and taught. They heard that voice when they were in quiet conversation with just Jesus and the disciples. So it was a familiar voice. I mean, if they shut their eyes, they probably would have recognized Jesus just from the voice that they heard. But they saw him. They saw him. They saw his face, they saw his hands, they saw his feet. They were all familiar to them. I mean, they'd been a family. They'd been family for the past 3 years. They traveled together, they ate together, they slept in the same place. And so his physical features were very familiar to them. And then he said, "Hey, come and feel me. Come and touch me." What he was saying, "I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost." He said, "A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I do. Come on, feel my flesh. Feel my bones. If you want to count my ribs, count my ribs. A spirit doesn't have those things. I am alive bodily. I am alive in the flesh." And so in verse 40, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet." Again, stretched out his hands, stretched out his feet. He said, "It's really me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. You know me. You are familiar with me. You know my voice. You know my physical features. Now, don't be afraid. You're not looking at a spirit. You're looking at my body as you have known it for the past three years plus." Verse 41. And while they yet believe not, for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" So they still didn't believe. I mean, even after he said, "Hey, here's my hands, here's my feet, come and touch them if you want. Feel my skin, feel my bones, I am alive." And they still didn't believe. They were, the Bible says in that verse, they were filled with joy and wonder. It was just too good to be true. I mean, it was so wonderful. It was so amazing. It was so different that they just couldn't believe it. They just still did not have the faith to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus gave them more proof. He said, "Hey, have you got any meat? You got anything to eat? I mean, you know, a spirit doesn't eat. A ghost doesn't eat, but a body, you know, and I'm going to say this, but a body needs food. Now, again, I'm going to comment on that in just a minute. But Jesus said, hey, I'm in the flesh. Have you got anything to eat? And so in verse 42, and they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. So that's what they were eating. And so when Jesus said, hey, have you got anything to eat? Well, they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb. And he took it, verse 43, and he took it and did eat before them. Again, positive proof that it was a bodily resurrection. This was just no vision. This was not a spirit or a ghost. He was a real, live, flesh and blood person who could be heard, who could be seen, who could be felt, and who ate food. He was in the flesh. Again, all evidences that Jesus gave to his disciples recorded by Dr. Luke. Now, listen, if anybody was going to be skeptical, okay, of the bodily resurrection, it was going to be Luke. I mean, Matthew was a tax collector. He didn't know nothing about physiology. John was a fisherman. I don't know what Mark was, but Luke was a doctor. I mean, if there was anybody who's going to say, hey, people don't come back from the dead, it was going to be Luke. And yet, here he is stating as a fact, and remember, Luke did a lot of research before he penned the gospel. I know the Holy Spirit inspired him, but it used his knowledge to gather the facts for this young man named Theophilus that he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts for to set set the facts out about Jesus Christ. If anybody was going to be a skeptic, it would be this doctor. But he recorded as fact. He presented as fact that Jesus was alive. Now, some people take objection to Jesus eating. And they say, well, in our resurrected bodies, we won't need food. Now, I don't think Jesus ate to make the point that in our resurrected bodies, we're going to need food. He didn't eat this fish and honeycomb for his own benefit. He ate it for the benefit of his disciples. His resurrected physical body was capable of eating food. And again, he wanted his disciples to see they were looking at a real body, not just a spirit. Spirits don't eat. Real bodies do. Now, as we look at this account, we see several things about Jesus' resurrected body. First of all, it bore the wounds from Calvary. Okay? He had holes in his hands. He had holes in his feet. He had a wound in his side where the soldier plucked the spear in. He probably had still scar marks, if not open wounds, on his head and on his face where they plucked his beard and put the crown of thorns. It was a real body of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. It was not subject to space or density. What I mean by that, he could appear and disappear at will. The door was locked. He just appeared in the room. When he was sitting at supper with the two on the road to Emmaus, he just disappeared. Next, this body was capable of eating food. It was a body that could hear, could speak, and was capable of seeing, okay? It was capable of being touched, of being handled. And it was recognized by the disciples. Now, a lot of people look at this account and they ask the question, well, does Jesus' resurrected body in this account foreshadow the resurrected body that we're going to have? So, for example, our resurrected body be a body of flesh? Will it bear wounds that we have received here on earth? Will it be able to appear and disappear like Jesus did? Will it be able to enter closed rooms without opening the door? Will it be capable of eating food? Now, let me take an aside. If that's optional, whether you eat or not in your resurrected body, I vote for eating. I enjoy eating, as you can tell from my size. I think eating would be an enjoyable pastime in heaven, especially if we could eat and not have to worry about cholesterol or gaining weight or any of that other stuff that we have to worry about now. Lois sometimes tell me, you know, they're up in heaven. Bob's up in heaven. Her husband is up in heaven eating manna. I said, Lois, I think they eat more than manna in heaven. Angel food cake, devil's food cake. I think there's good stuff in heaven. Banana pudding, fried chicken, mashed potatoes. God loves us. And when we get to heaven, I mean, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. If I can think of those things, just imagine what it's going to be like. Now, will we recognize each other as they recognize Jesus? I think we will. I think we'll know each other. I mean, the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration recognized Elijah and Moses, and they had never met them. So they knew them, and I think we're going to know one another. And again, I can't tell you exactly how things are going to be, but I do know this. God will give us a body appropriate to the place that we're going to live. He'll give us a body that's appropriate to heaven and the conditions in heaven that we're going to live in. I mean, just like he designed a body to live on this earth when he designed Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, and their bodies were appropriate to that environment. So when we get to heaven, our resurrected body is going to be appropriate to heaven. It's going to fit in with heaven, so to speak. It'll allow us to enjoy heaven. And again, I can't tell you exactly what it's going to be. I can't tell you exactly how it's all going to operate. But I know this. I know God loves us. And I know he's going to give us a body that will allow us to enjoy the place that he has prepared for us. And I also know this, that Christ's resurrection, his bodily resurrection, is all the assurance that we need that we too are going to be resurrected. We don't need any other assurance. Christ is our forerunner. And as it happened to him, it's going to happen to us if we die before we leave this earth. One day our body is going to be physically resurrected. And we'll join together with our soul in the air. We'll be given that new body, and we'll dwell with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Now, I had a lady ask me a couple of weeks ago. She said, do you think there'll be aches and pains in heaven? I said, no, why would you think that? No aches and pains in heaven. No tears in heaven. There's no insomnia in heaven because there's no sleep. We won't have to sleep. Just think of all the time we waste sleeping while we're here. We won't waste any time in heaven sleeping. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to getting that resurrected body. But most of all, I'm looking forward to being together with Jesus. I've said this before. I'd be happy with a hut on the outskirts of heaven. I don't think there's another side of the tracks on heaven, but as far away from God's throne as there is in heaven, I'd be happy to dwell there as long as I could be with Jesus. The rest of the stuff, the gold streets and that other stuff, I don't think it'll have any appeal to us. The most appealing thing about heaven, the most lovely thing about heaven, is that our Savior's there and we'll get to be with him. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.